Fear not. There's no room for fear, but there is a lot of room for reflection and for repentance. And St. Paul reminds us that the sufferings of this world, of this time, are nothing compared to the glory that is to come. In that case, for myself, I will say that I expect a very grandiose glory, for the sufferings of this world continue and are added upon by this one or that one, by the lack of respect, by the lack of love that so many show. Because everyone is very sensitive and has to be very much taken into account for, but not I. Certain ones continuously disrespect and do evil to me, and those are the ones that owe me the most. So it's not just you that need consideration and love and charity, it is also I. Don't forget that. And the end is near. So hopefully, the saying of St. Paul will be very, very true. The sufferings of this time are nothing compared to the glory that is about to come. And of course, we see in the gospel something similar, but it's also, remember, still the beginning. This is just the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. We have just finished the season of Easter with the great feast of the Trinity and Pentecost, and then the wonderful feast of the gift, the greatest gift that God has given us, the most holy and blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, for whom it is not an it is a home, it is Jesus Christ himself, for whom we owe the greatest love and reverence and respect. And unfortunately, it is not given. And so our Lord comes to the shore and gives himself to teach. It's very, very common for our Lord to teach sitting from someplace higher up. And the ships were oftentimes the places from where our Lord was teaching. And when he did this, he gave it precedence, a teaching, in a sense, to those who would follow him. And it has been the custom, the perennial custom for many centuries since Christ, for instance, for the Supreme Pontiff to teach from the throne. And in some cases, when he teaches officially from the throne, which we call ex cathedra, it means that he is pronouncing infallible teaching, which, of course, it has to be made manifest. It has to be communicated. Without the communication, then it does not happen. Any law in the church that is promulgated in order for it to be followed and obeyed must be promulgated from the throne. And so our Lord here teaches from the ship that becomes his throne. And as he is founding upon the cross the ship of the church, the wonderful, magnificent, and glorious ship of the church, then he is giving us also another example that the church is a ship, navis ecclesiae, and even in all the churches throughout the world, the main part of the church is not called, as if we were Protestants, the congregation, no. It is called the nave of the church, the navis ecclesiae, the ship of the church, because the church is the ship of Christ and the ship of his vicar on earth, the Supreme Pontiff. And so he teaches and everyone listens. And then, you know, as we see oftentimes happen, the Lord gives a command. Now, Simon Peter, who was the boldest of them all, and oftentimes answered Jesus, though respectfully, however, our Lord said, "Put out into the deep, duc in altum." And of course, that word is something that the saints have followed. Duc in altum, go into the deep, where you, yes, could be very much afraid of falling in and drowning or being devoured by beasts. But no, do not fear, because the Lord is with you. He is holding you. He is guiding you. He is commanding you. And so yes, duc in altum. And St. Peter, boastful as he is, he says, "Lord, we have been fishing all night long, and we caught nothing. They had not one fish." So St. Peter was being very common sense in this regard. But our Lord doesn't care about our common sense. He cares about our obedience. And St. Peter follows. And so they come out, and then they put out the nets. And they caught so many fish. They who had fished all night and had caught nothing. And so, you know, most people would say that is absolutely foolish for him to tell us to go out fishing. We've caught nothing. What is this? And some people would even get angry, even with God. And I remember the spiritual director telling me once, when I said, "You know, I'm a little bit angry with God because this and this and this is going on," or not. And he said, "That's a good thing, because those saints who are closest to God are the ones who oftentimes lose their temper with God. However, you need to be very careful not to commit blasphemy or sacrilege. St. Teresa of Avila was one of those." Of course, you remember how she said, when she fell into the mud with a statue of the baby Jesus in one hand and another of St. Joseph on the other one. And she says, "God, why are you so mean to us who are your friends?" And he says, "I am very strict with those who are my friends." And she said, "Well, no wonder you don't have so many." And it's true. And that goes for us as well. And so St. Peter, he sort of said to Jesus, "You know, why are we going to do this when we have not caught anything all night?" And Jesus says, "Do it." And we obey Jesus. We obey his holy church. And so they caught so many fish that both boats, not just the one, both boats were about to sink because they were so heavy with fish. And then it continues as such. Our Lord, after the astonishment of St. Peter and the apostles who were just coming to know him, and I wonder, are you perhaps coming to know him? Do you really have a deep and loving relationship with him? Do you know him? And so St. Peter was astonished. And so he falls down on his knees, realizing that this is God. He says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." This is the proper posture for us before God, before the Eucharist. Again, we must have the greatest love and respect for Jesus in the Eucharist. And our Lord says, "Do not be surprised. From now on, you shall not be fishermen of fish. You shall be fishermen of men, of souls." And then, remarkably, two shiploads of fish, the ships, the nets, everything else. And what did they do? Having brought their ships to land, leaving all things, abandoning all things, they followed him. And that is exactly what we must do in the spiritual life, and for those of us who have a vocation. Abandoning all things, we must follow him, including ourselves. And so they followed him, and that was 2,000 years ago. And even though the church has tremendous difficulties and so many evils to fight, and there are so many evil men inside the church, even in the hierarchy, which is very obvious, very evident everywhere, we need to continue to follow him, to die to self completely, and to follow him. And so today, our Lord teaches us a wondrous lesson. And St. Paul, too, his servant, who left everything behind to follow him. All the sufferings of his life, all the sorrows, all the pain of his life, does not compare to the glory of heaven. Remember that in times of difficulty, in times of sorrow, the glory that is to come is far greater. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.